Keep ourselves on time here. Thank you everyone for attending today. I'm totally enjoying being here in California. I was speaking a little bit to another Minnesotan here and who had a better experience at Minneapolis Airport than I did on Saturday. But a week ago in Minnesota, Wisconsin, we were experiencing minus 24 Fahrenheit and with another 30 below wind chill, so we were sitting at about a minus 55 Fahrenheit. And today I think it hit maybe 55 here in California, so definitely like this side of the zero versus what we were experiencing. But I brought a little pal along. When I first learned that we were going to be wearing green for the presenters, you know, make sure you have black pants, khaki, whatever, I'm like, okay, green, wonder what color green they're going to make us wear. And lo and behold, it's the Microsoft green. So Kermit is just here to remind everyone, it's not easy being green, but I think I'm pulling it off today, so we'll just go with that then. All right, so are there any carryovers from the last session, the session with the shipbuilding folks, Jenny and those? Okay. I sat in through hers, and it was an excellent example of an implementation. Theirs took 9 months, but they started the clock from when they started their deployment process. And interestingly, they did some things that were very similar, and then we have at 3M have done a few things a little different. So I was just going to say, if you sat in on the other one, you might see some very similar items, but we'll be talking today how 3M implemented a PPM deployment. It helped us win 3M project, or the PMI Minnesota Project of the Year. It's not why we implemented PPM. I'll explain how and why we did it. I work for the Optical Systems Division at 3M, so I'm not representing all of 3M. It's pretty much one division. We have about 35 different business units, five business groups, 88,000 employees globally, and our optical systems division, I'll touch base as far as what we do a little bit. But just to get started on the session, the objectives are to explain how we deployed it, what pieces of Project Server we deployed. And we deployed Project 2010. We are also working off of SharePoint 2010, and our project managers that choose to have the desktop version of Microsoft Project have the professional version of 2010. So this won't go into Server Online or 365, but I'm getting a lot of knowledge from that here at the conference, and also looking back at folks that have implemented Server 2010 and then are looking towards 2013 and learning what those differences are. So. These are the session objectives to go through. If maybe it isn't what you expected, if you expected the 2013 version, I just wanted to let you know up front. And if feel free to, you won't hurt my feelings if you head out. So for us, like I said, we did win the PMI Minnesota Project of the Year, but that's not why we did it. For us, we wanted to implement a solution that would allow us to put all of our information into one spot, help our project managers better define the needs for their project, get the resources understood, and help us with portfolio management. So we didn't implement everything that Project Server allows you to implement. There's a lot of very valuable information, very important things that you can do, but we didn't use them all. So I'm going to show you what we chose to implement and how we're getting value out of that. And probably one of the reasons we won the Project of the Year is we had a very detail-oriented project manager. I was not the project manager for the implementation, but the project manager we had was a very detailed PMP, and he kept us all in line, and we did follow practically the PMI standards to a T. So the Project of the Year that PMI Minnesota chapter represents the five-state kind of Midwest area there, does recognize groups or teams that have implemented the project management knowledge areas. So you'll see the PMI verbiage sort of intermixed in this presentation. And it did take a team. It wasn't just, you know, one person. Here we are accepting the award about a year ago, and our partner, Milestone Consulting, Jay Dulles is there. He's sitting here in the audience as well. It was an honor, but again, not why we did it. So I'll probably leave it at that, even though it was part of the title, and then move on to our deployment. It took many different roles. In fact, our team wasn't this whole team when it started. Stephen Dreger, who was our project manager throughout the deployment, and probably Brian Kinder, who was one of our project managers in our division, had met and discussed how could we better do resource management and such. And as they were talking, we do have a database administrator, Catherine, who handles all of our corporate databases as well as now handles our EPM database. And it just sort of slowly evolved. And as I mentioned, we did work with a partner, Milestone Consulting. Jay was part of our team, probably from the early on. He was on the team before I was on the team. And why did we choose to go with a partner and just not go it alone? Well, we had learned from some other divisions in 3M that had attempted to do sort of, let's make something ourselves to do portfolio or resource management. And they were kind of followed by spending a lot of money and a lot of time and not exactly getting what they wanted for it. So we partnered with Milestone primarily because they are local to us in Minnesota. They've had the experience in being a partner with Microsoft for many years, a gold partner in EPM. With PMI, they're also an registered education provider. So they helped with some of our training needs as well and have been working with 3M for over a decade. So they already had helped with implementation of like Server 2003, 2007, and some other groups. So Optical Systems Division, I mentioned earlier that I'm not representing all of 3M and the implementation. It was specific to our division, so it's one chunk of 3M per se. And Optical Systems develops unique films and such for the electronics display industry. So we have to continuously be reinventing ourselves. That means many, many projects, product development projects, and technology projects in a given year. And it's not just little pieces. It's not a one-size-fits-all. We go across the entire spectrum of very, very small devices, even little tiny inserts in cameras, not necessarily the big screen, and then all the way to projection type displays. And so we have two main segments, or we're divided into two main segments, being a large device and a small device group, and I'll touch on that in a little bit. We're also a very global division. So not only do we have sales force across the globe, we have manufacturing in multiple countries and multiple states, and that requires communication amongst our team members at a pretty good level. We have to be very comfortable with communicating on a day-to-day basis as well as the data that goes into our projects. We have team leaders in the United States and we have team leaders across the globe. And since we do work in the electronics industry, many of our customers are in Asia. And so we do a lot of communicating, 24 hours a day. So our project management isn't just in 8 hours in a given U.S. time frame. It kind of spans across, and we do take that into consideration for the communication, as is, you know, the PMI definition, where the number of interactions that you can go into further complicates what communication or maybe the deciphering of information would be considered a challenge. So we had to keep that in mind as we were looking for a solution that would solve our communication across projects. 3M Corporation, beyond just our division, does use a stage gate system. I'm going to keep it simple and just reference the Cooper-Edgett diagram here, but for any of our new product or new technology implementations, we do use a phased approach. So we're looking at risk management across a project as it moves from sort of that fuzzy front end all the way through to commercialized and selling to the global market. just a quick snapshot of what our overall project timeline looked like. It took about 18 months. I think a question was, you know, how long did our total implementation take? But that was including sort of that fuzzy front end, the scouting that I'm going to be discussing a little bit through our voice of customer, and then we did a phased approach, which I'll outline as we go along here. And again, it started with our need to improve just knowing how many projects we had, where the people were on the projects, how were projects selected in order for us to move forward, how did they fit in with the overall portfolio. And we had, you know, two major groups within our division. I'd call it the large devices, so you can think of it as anything maybe that plugs in, a TV, a monitor, and such. And then small devices, so things that run off a battery that you can hold in your hand and such. The fact that we had these two groups, one would think, okay, if it works for one, it should work for the other, but that was not the case. And so it originated in what we would call the large device lab, where one of the managers started asking, well, couldn't we do something with a system? We implemented an Access database. We looked at Excel spreadsheets. Not all of our project managers had the same maturity level, so they didn't track their projects the same way. And we looked to our corporation, you know, was there a tool that was going to be implemented by everyone that we could borrow, we could work? And there was a decision made not to provide sort of a resource tracking application overall. That was left to the divisions to do their own customized approach. And as I mentioned, these two separate labs, even though we were under one umbrella of one division, they acted very differently and had different demands or different strategic reasons for why they chose certain projects. So we set off sort of that scouting process. There were a number of free webinars that we could listen in on as far as how to do project and portfolio management. Microsoft had a roadshow that came close to us, and Stephen had, I think that's where Stephen met Jay, was at the Microsoft roadshow. And then various workshops, whether it be Agile or other types of workshops that were brought in based on our vice presidents and such, interacting with their network and bringing them in to kind of see what was out there for project and portfolio management. We looked at a number of commercial options, whether it be the HP-specific financial server offerings from UMT, SAP, which is now what 3M Corporation is moving to for more of a, a global supply chain and such, and then Microsoft Project Server. And at the time, when we started this back in mid to late 2009, there was Project Server 2007, but it did not include the portfolio piece at that time, but we had heard, you know, the rumors of 2010 then including it. So we did, like any engineering innovative company would, we built a matrix that would take into account the pros, the cons, do the comparison. And you see that the Microsoft edged out HP probably because there were other groups in 3M that were already using a portfolio server. Now again, it was 2003 or 2007. How many folks here are already utilizing a project server, already have done the implementation? Okay, and it went well, it's being successfully used, yeah. And again, it's a matter of how do you define success. If you've got the people using it the way you intended, and then you're putting the data in and you're getting the good data out. So that's sort of what one of our main goals was. We have to have something that people will use. So some of the takeaways from just looking over and doing our scouting efforts, various levels of implementation are okay. So for those that have already implemented, did you do the whole package? Are you doing the time reporting, the portfolio, the resource management? Is it one fell swoop for the most part? Okay. We didn't use every single piece because, again, it's got a lot of powerful, I guess, power to it. But various levels of implementation are okay. It's just a matter of using what you intend to use it for and use it right. We had upper management support and direction as we approached this deployment, and that was critical. We had engaged a sponsor from the technical organization as well as our business organization, and they were both at the director level. They weren't pushy, but they did want a certain level of communication, understand how we were taking it to the next level. And so we set up a communication schedule with them and identified what was important to them to know at each particular phase as we moved along. We started small, and we kept that approach: crawl, walk, run. Don't just say, hey, we're going to implement Project Server. Here it is. You guys can read this five-page summary and boom. Nope, we took it one step at a time, and I'll go through each of those stages. Simplification. One of the biggest fears when people saw, oh boy, here comes Project Server, it's another one of these Q90s or Challenge 95s, it's another one of these things that 3M's going to stuff down our throat, and if we ignore it long enough, it'll go away. So of course, we had the naysayers, we had that, and one of their biggest fears or pet peeves was, this is going to be yet another thing I have to do. And so we had to emphasize to them, no, it's going to replace what you do. It's going to change the way you do things, and we need to know if it's changing it in the right direction. We had guaranteed our upper management, those that had engaged and given us the support, that we would not follow through. We wouldn't take it from walk to run unless it was considered successful for all levels that were going to be using it. So we did have to manage those stakeholder expectations, and stakeholders above and below the team. And when I say below, I just mean those that would ultimately have to use it. And then have those defined goals and objectives. And that's part of having that scope statement and such. So that's sort of the overview of how we did it at our divisional level, one subset of 3M, and how we customized it for our use. And I just want to pause if there's any questions or if it's not maybe what you expected or... Nope, keep going. So the next stage is how we implemented it. So the first step was to make this proposal. We already had our sponsors on board, but now we had to get their approval to move to that next level. What is Microsoft EPM? I mean, to them, they don't get into the nitty-gritty details like Stephen and Brian, and now Jay is on board. They don't get into those details. We had to give them a sum proposal of how it was going to provide value to optical systems. And we included a vision and a mission statement, which would help outline specifically, we want to become the leader in project and portfolio management within 3M. Of course, our director is going to be happy about that. They want to have some bragging rights. And then the mission statement, how are we going to do that? We're going to have the standards and the methods and such to be in place so that we can do effective resource tracking. We want to improve our overall effectiveness. Already we were a leader in the electronics display industry, but we wanted to maintain that with that continuously reinventing ourselves and picking the right projects each time. So, being an innovative product producing company, we treated our implementation as a project. So we took it through the different phases, checked in with our stakeholders each time. Our project goals would need to be achieved by working with this partner. We can take a look at what Microsoft Project Server offers, but how do you pick the right pieces? That's why working with a partner is very important, and having a consultant like Milestone was very, very effective for us. And then leveraging tools that already are being used within 3M. So there were divisions that were already working with a Project Server, whether it was an instance of 2003 or 2007, primarily for time tracking or maybe project tracking. We talked to those groups and got that sort of internal to 3M VOC to make sure that we were on the right track here. So you see now on my timeline, we kind of done all that scouting, getting our team together, and sort of worked on some of that internal VOC. So we've moved up on the timeline quite a bit just to keep everyone's bearings. And I also mentioned that we had a project manager that was very in tune with the knowledge areas of PMI. And so as you can imagine, we had a very thorough project management plan. But I would say taking the time up front to put all of those pieces together was vital. We went back to that document many times to see how did we establish that initial scope? What did we promise the stakeholders? And how did we say we were going to handle any kind of changes to scope or changes that were necessary based on schedule slippage? So taking the time up front, very effective. We had a dedicated war room, and this was sort of serendipitous for us because we were going through some changes in offices at the time. And one was essentially abandoned because it had poor lighting, but we took it on, found a table and a few chairs, and proceeded to put up, cover every single piece of wall space. But it was great because we could have our network diagram. We printed it. We printed the network diagram because it is very cathartic to walk in and start crossing things off as you were progressing along. We had the countdown chart. So we are the company of Post-it notes. We had Post-it notes that we'd peel off each day indicating how many days closer are we getting to that full deployment. And then all of our other key documents, our risk analysis chart was up there. We had done a requirements analysis. That was up on the wall. It allowed the future project managers that would be working with the system to come in and have a chat with us. And we had snacks, of course. And again, emphasize a skilled project manager was watching over us and reminding us when we had to do our updates to the timeline and such. Planned the work, worked the plan, and kept updating it as we needed. So I mentioned we did the external voice of customer, sort of the other users in 3M. And then we moved on to start touching sort of what I would call the heartbeat or the cord of what we were aiming to deliver, and that was a solution that would work for our division because we needed everybody to use it from upper management all the way down to the team members that reported up through the resource managers. And so to identify those projects or project and portfolio management needs, we had sessions, and they turned out being called the cookie and coffee sessions because that's what we had. We had snacks provided. We brought in team members, and we brought in managers, and we held them as separate sessions because then people spoke freely. And we wanted to be able to determine in those sessions how well the requirements that they were stating matched the functionality of EPM. But we didn't flat out say, here's what EPM does, tell us if this is going to work or not. We wanted to see if that would just come out of asking them, how can we improve communication? How can we improve project management? Do you have any pain points when it comes to portfolio? And usually they'd say, portfolio, we have no transparency to that. I mean, we don't know how projects are picked. So interestingly enough, when we took a look at the team member VOC and the management VOC, we found a lot of similarities. And the consistent message was, how are projects prioritized, and how do we manage that overall portfolio so we know we're working on the right things at the right time and the right resources are on the projects that they need to be. So that was a great, validation for why we needed to do it, and the fact that both the management and the team members were going to see value. Okay, now we've got that VOC, we're going to translate it into the requirements and verify that the solution's going to work. We don't want to do it all at once because we don't want to scare people off. Again, we still have naysayers in the group. We still have people saying, this is just going to be a waste of my time. It's going to be another thing I have to do. So after getting those requirements, we put together what we felt was in scope, what could EPM deliver, and what was out of scope. If it wasn't compatible with the EPM solution, we kept it in a parking lot because there's other ways to handle communication difficulties and such, which maybe the project server wouldn't fix. And then we moved on then to state what would be those requirements. When we talked to the managers, especially the portfolio and the resource managers, they said it would be great to be able to tell, what if we did this project instead of this? You know, how do you take into account that opportunity lost? And so we introduced to them the concept of business drivers. We knew that something was going through their minds that allowed them to pick one project over another, but we wanted that in writing. What is driving that? So you'll see how, if you've got Project Server, you realize in the portfolio analysis piece how a driver comes into play. And so introducing them to that and getting them comfortable. The high-level resource tracking. We track our project's resources at the project level, and it's by FTE percentage. How we use EPM isn't down to the hours or isn't by the task level. We are currently tracking our resources at the project level by full-time equivalents. Reporting. This was a headache for many of our project managers in the sense that they had the data, all of the different managers knew they had the data, and in any given week, they may be calling on that same project manager to deliver it in Excel, in PowerPoint, and could you send a PDF off to Asia for this? And I was like, this is ridiculous. Don't the managers talk to each other? If we had this in one spot, you know, maybe this would work out a little better. So having a centralized source of whatever is considered the current information, and we can always take snapshots or Excel dumps, and we can have that historical information, but we wanted to have a central source of what we call the truth. If it's in EPM, that's what we're going to trust to build our report. Milestone provided a statement of work. We made sure that integrated well with our proof of concept and our overall project management plan. Remember, we still had that overall plan that we could refer back to, and we made sure that that was aligned with what their plan was for us and that the timing matched and such. So that allowed us then to move into what we call our proof of concept. And here is where the project team has the requirements. So again, it's that team of four or five of us. And I think on one of the slides it showed that overall we used about 2 to 3 FTEs. So even though there was maybe 5 bodies listed, it wasn't our 100% job except for Steve and our project manager. The rest of us still had other projects we were managing and such. So for our project team, we wanted to verify first, will this tool that we've identified do what we needed to do based on the requirements we've just gathered? So we're calling that our crawl. This is how we're going to start. And another way we've referred to it as kicking the tires. Project Server was in beta release. We did a 6-month evaluation license. We used it right up to the very, very last day. Steven ended up sending up a memo that said, it's over, it's gone. So we did that technical evaluation. That allowed us to explore that application, determine, okay, let's plug in this kind of data, let's do this, let's really throw a huge team or over allocate somebody. What can this tool do? Truly, truly kicking the tires. And demonstrating the application to OSD team members. So we brought in some of those naysayers, we brought in some of those early adopters. They wanted to do anything that was going to make their job easier as a project manager. And of course, identify issues. You know, we wanted to make sure we did that before we implemented it the next step. So this is risk management. Go through the beta, determine what the risk is of taking it to that next step, and learn from others that are coming in and kicking the tires with us. But again, it was primarily that initial project team doing that. It ran from March to October, so that encompassed the license that we had. We did plan the work, work the plan. We kept on that motto. We were very, very intrigued and much wanted that portfolio management tool to work. And about the time we were ready to implement it, I was sent over for a business management meeting over in Asia. And serendipitously, again, we were able to check out this portfolio management part by, again, we were still on the beta release, but I was able to show the business directors in Asia how we could implement project drivers. That was almost a full day of trying to get them all to agree what was driving their strategy, so that was fun in and of itself. But we did it remotely, and so we were testing that. We were showing them the power of this tool, and emphasizing to them at the same time it is just a tool. They still had to use their brains. We were just trying to get something out of them that would show the rest of our division how they were making these decisions. And then that obviously built additional support for the overall use of this. So the sponsors agreed with the team that this POC evaluation was great, and we therefore got to go beyond the beta into a production server. And the software was configured in early in November, which led us into what we would refer to as our pilot stage, or where we're taking it to that next level with some additional evaluators. So you can consider this our walking. Does anyone have any, I guess, questions regarding that crawl stage, doing that early upfront? Because of course we had our hesitation during that time, would it work? And we had to come to grips with if it didn't work for those, you know, within the team, that maybe we were going to have to trash and go on. But any other thoughts as far as if you've gotten that far and gotten frustrated or? Okay. Oh, yes? The portfolio piece? Yes, there was a challenge. The question was there a challenge in taking on that portfolio piece and, you know, basically introducing it to those business directors, those stakeholders? And yes, like any change management process, you've got to go in, I would say, slowly. And I introduced it as, this is a tool, we're evaluating it, I stated the facts, and what we're going to try here is to establish what's driving your business decisions. And we have a set of projects that we're used to just pitting project against project, but let's not look at it that way right now. Let's take those projects and align them to what we call your drivers. So we spent a day developing the drivers and then having them align. So to them, it was almost like a, wow, they didn't know what the outcome was going to be. And they were trying to guess. And of course, they engaged their brains and did the gut check and that type of thing. And so if it didn't look right, then they questioned their drivers. So they were doing exactly what we wanted them to do, establish whether or not they had the right drivers and such. But that first time through was a sort of the trial and error. Things weren't perfect, and it took longer than we expected. It took a couple days rather than let's do it in 6 hours. But have we adopted? Yes, we have adopted it, yes. And I'll show you towards the end, we've got a demo sort of in slides, and I'll show you how we walk through the driver selection. So, good question. Any others? Oh, yes.
What about your
naysayers? Well, during the pilot, we brought a couple of them on board. We had a couple project managers that, I mean, they weren't totally disruptive. I would say disruptors could easily offshoot it, but we had some that just figured, this is another one of these systems that's, it's just more work. I don't know why you're making me do this. And it's like, bear with us for just a few months, and let's put your project data in. Let's use your team to test some of the other features of EPM. We did evaluate real project data. So it wasn't just fake data that we were plugging in during our proof of concept. We had our own server, so now we were putting in real project data. We evaluated time entry. It's something we don't currently use today, but we did kick the tires during our proof of concept. We did bring in project teams to do the time entry to determine could we better assess how much of a particular resource it takes on a project team. So if you're judging a new project is going to start and typically that takes a half a quality engineer, is that real or should it be 35%? Should it be 75%? We wanted to get a little bit better clarity, and so we were having them enter actual time in a timesheet. We did bring in our naysayers, and I'll give you the output as far as what happened with those naysayers. But testing the time entry, validating the VOC assessment, so having some of the actual people who gave us those comments up front test the system was very valuable for us. Of course, we had challenges. I said we started on a production server in early November. Along comes the holidays, along comes vacation. We had IT people on vacation. We had our sponsors on vacation. We had maybe not the best time, but we didn't want to lose any time either from when our beta license ran out to when we started. We didn't want to lose momentum, so we chose to go ahead and start in November. And it was a matter of time management. We identified where people were going to be on vacation and overlap, and our team basically reassessed where we could fill in those gaps and work through it. So we were able to stay on schedule despite the holidays and vacations. But time became very critical. And so in preparing to go live, we had to obviously check in with the stakeholders, explain to them, now we've done this pilot, here's our proposal for taking this to the entire division. But in preparation for going live, we wanted to make sure our project managers had the other necessary tools. So Milestone did provide a standard 3-day class on site. We brought them into 3M. So folks from our division, as well as some of the other groups that had been evaluating a PPM solution, attended that standard 3-day class. We developed a frequently asked questions and help site. A lot of that was, you know, repeated questions that were coming to the project team when we had our war room, when people were stopping in, when people were participating in that pilot. We developed our help site, and it's embedded into our PWA, and then developed our own internal training. Milestone assisted us with that, but now we have our own training courses that you can go out onto our help site and get the actual PowerPoint slides, and then we offer the training on a quarterly basis to our project managers that have to do the reporting. So in May 2011, we did the official go live. We had what was called a big show, so to speak, and we brought in the folks that had helped us, whether they were a part of VOC, whether they were the other folks within 3M. We wanted to show them we used what they had taught us, and we brought them into one room. We brought in our sponsors, the business directors, the technical and manufacturing directors, team leaders, both the naysayers as well as the early adopters, and we asked for approval to move on right then and there so everyone could visually see our stakeholders giving us that approval. And our stakeholders, especially those that were going to have to cut the check to buy it, point blank asked some of the folks whether it was, and they didn't know who were the naysayers versus, they could probably guess based on prior experience, but they asked point blank, and they did ask one of the naysayers, and I remember his response saying, "This isn't that bad, and it's actually pretty incredible how I just enter it in one spot, and you guys aren't calling me and bugging me about this, that, or the other thing." So they could recognize from the project manager level that the managers were using it as it was intended, and the managers asked without, you know, any fear of getting the truth back, how the team members and the project leaders liked it. And that was their convincing to say, yes, let's go ahead. So we went live. We brought on the rest of the teams. We brought on all the rest of the projects. We did the internal training for everyone who was going to have to use the system. Now, we only have licenses for our project managers, resource managers, and the directors. The team members do not have licenses. So like I said, we don't do the time entry piece. So that part wasn't necessary to have everyone have a license. And we currently do the portfolio at least by quarter for each of the business segments, but we can certainly, when someone wants to see what that portfolio looks like, we can always take a glance at any time, given the data is updated. So that brings us to sort of the end of the overall timeline. And so how we use it today, it's a source of our project information using the metadata that we feed into it. So we had to select what information was important to us that we wanted to be able to track and pull specific reports from. Some of the most used are how many projects do we have, what phase are they in, which segment is using the most resources. We have on a monthly basis a report that goes to our division operating committee showing how our resources are broken out. We tend to run out of people before we run out of money to do projects. There's a lot more projects in our hopper than we have people to do them. And so they're constantly watching that. And then prioritization, as I mentioned, typically on a quarterly base. One year we attempted to do a division-wide, which was quite interesting, and that took almost a month just to get through all the steps. But and then our reporting, this has helped incredibly with our reporting. And then how do we not use it, sort of the in-scope, out-of-scope. We don't use the time reporting. That was a function that we validated during our pilot phase, and we actually had good reception, even those that said, I don't want to have to fill in my time here. I mean, we have a corporate system that manages our paychecks that tracks how much vacation we've used and such. So this wouldn't talk directly with that, so it would have been a separate entry. And even with that, they were saying it only took about 5 minutes a week. I could easily do this. But unless we were going to use that level of detail, on a routine basis, or management was asking for it. We didn't have the bandwidth within our project services group that has to manage this in order to handle it. So it emphasizes the fact you don't have to implement everything or all the features that Project Server has in order for it to be successful in your implementation. So now I'll move on to the solution, how we're using it. We've created a demo in slides. It was how we could get our legal team to approve a presentation. However, we do have our development, an instance out on our dev server that the Milestone Consulting Group can access, and they have permission to access. So if you want to stop by their booth, 707, and I can be happy to meet you there too, if you want to see some of what's going to be represented in these slides in real use to see the what ifs and stuff, we can certainly do that. So we have it in development server format, and it's cleansed data that's okay to use outside of 3M. But I figured this way with the slides, you have access to all the slides after the conference. They'll be out on my PC, so you can have these to look back at for, I guess, the relative look and feel of how it progresses through. So this is the Project Web App. Many of you said you already have this installed, so this should look familiar with a few blurs. This is what I needed to do. The Gantt view for us, and then we do use the custom fields to group by function or by business or by phase. So it's a really great way to reduce the amount of projects you're looking at any given time. And the fact that it's centralized, we have our resource managers trained to go in, and they can click on the very specific business segment that they're looking for. Because initially, when they go out there, they see all those projects. They're like, oh, forget it. Just tell me. Or pull a report for me. Yes? We don't have a formal PMO. Actually, my tech director doesn't like that term. But I would say I manage the project services group, which is a very small group. But we handle all of the, the project processes. So our new product development process, the EPM process, I do not manage the project managers. Those are resourced through our different resource managers. We're very matrixed and not projectized at 3M. Mm-hmm. And so the resource managers not only have some project managers reporting to them, but they have team resources that cross over to other projects. And so for them to take a look at where their people are, it's very helpful for them to do the filter. But for our project information, the detail pages that we have are very, customized for us, the different information that we want to track based on reports that have been requested by our directors and such. And interestingly enough, when we were going to figure out which custom reports were necessary, we put out a little survey, what report information is useful for us. And most of the managers failed to respond. We didn't get a whole lot of response. And we tried several other ways. And finally, what worked for us was to print out each of our current reports, which at the time was at least a dozen, in large format. So again, we like paper in large format. And pasted them around one of our larger conference rooms, and then gave each of them a marker and some post-it notes, and we wanted them to mark the pieces of information that was useful for them. Because what we were trying to see is, could we reduce this to maybe one or two or maybe six reports? And that would also focus the attention of those that were customizing or writing the configuration for the reports we needed to pull. So I don't have a slide of that sort of chaotic event, but just to let you know, that's what eventually worked for us. It didn't help to just ask the managers what did they want, because each of them picked the report that they were used to. But when you had them select the pieces of data from all the reports possible, we were then able to compress down, which was useful for us. And we also found that maybe some data was missing, so then that allowed us to add those fields to our EPM system as well. For scheduling, I mentioned we manage our resources to the project level. So we're not entering at a task level. We did when we were doing the time reporting for our pilot, but we have since taken that task line out. What we do require is a very simple skeleton based on the phases that we do through our new product development. Now, some of our project managers are much more savvy. They're really, really good at Microsoft Project. And for those, they can use their project desktop, Project 2010 desktop, and those that have Project Professional can sync. And so some of the report or some of the schedules that you look at out on EPM are very detailed because they're synced directly from that project manager's desktop. But since we're recognizing the maturity level of a lot of our project managers, we require a basic skeleton, and that helps us identify where the resources are for any given time. The project detail pages, the strategic impact, getting into the heads of our business directors and asking them what are the factors that allow you to decide which projects to do. So you see here we have business diversification, enabling a new level of performance, and generating sales within an existing market pyramid. These are actual drivers. We've had to blur out what our criteria are for each of the alignment statements, but what we've found is now aligning each of our projects to the drivers that are most important to our business managers and business directors allows them to choose the portfolio based on the data and not so much emotion. Now, they're still emotional people, we're humans, but they look at it and they have the better discussion based on the data. And if something doesn't fit, if something doesn't feel right, so to speak, they will take a look at the statements that they've made for the drivers, or they'll look at the drivers themselves, or the driver prioritization. So they're using the tool correctly. Each of the projects has a SharePoint site. Now, since the teams don't all have access, they don't all have licenses, we don't have a lot of these SharePoint sites populated. Now, 3M Corporate has SharePoint, and some of the teams have chosen to use the corporate free version, I guess. And then our project services does have a SharePoint site that we do utilize because all of us do have licenses. Resource plans. Each of the projects has a resource plan, and this is what I meant by at a project level, we're tracking the resources. I think it was a session yesterday caught my attention when they said, if you want to track by a resource plan, you have to make sure that this is toggled to resource plan, because if it's toggled to project plan, and Jay knows this too well because I've called him, you know, in early days of setting up, and I said, it's I've published it, but it's not showing up, and he had me check. So now this is without a doubt one of the first things I check is it's going to calculate from the resource plan. And we do it by full-time equivalents, and our granularity is by month. So not that every project starts at the first of the month or the last of the month. We do it for the simplicity of knowing our resources on any given month are assigned to this project at this full-time equivalent level. So this would be like a 20% or 10%. To access the Resource Center, there's two ways. You can go in it by project, or you can go in and look at all the resources and which projects are there. We can look at resource availability by going in and looking at all of the resources, whether they be our laboratory, which is where our PPM started, but we've expanded to the business as well as our manufacturing organization. We've got all of them entered into our resource center. And so if there's a particular type of resource, they're in by role, a primary role. That's what Microsoft Project allows you to have is a primary role. And so you can check if you're looking for specific folks that have maybe quality assurance experience and such, you can check those names. And then this is just a simple out-of-the-box report that allows you to see, you know, based on the capacity for that type of resource, do we have the ability to assign them to any additional projects. Reporting. This has been a tremendous, I guess, improvement for us with the reporting. I mentioned we had our managers in a room, and we've been able to reduce the number of projects we, or a number of reports we have, almost in half, based on what information they were routinely using and how we could combine that into reports. So the big one being our monthly commercialization report. So in Optical Systems, we have each project manager that's managing an active new product introduction to report on a monthly basis. And we also then look at each of those projects, and those that are in fear of, you know, maybe schedule slippage or something, we call those the red or yellow status projects. They will funnel up to the DOC or our Division Operating Committee on a monthly basis to alert them to issues. And then our dashboard compliance, and then we've been able to handle some special requests from Asia for their, I guess, their country reporting for their business leaders in specific countries. And one of the things, I won't show what our flow chart looked like before we implemented EPM, but now that we implemented EPM, the process of getting our monthly commercialization report has been reduced to just a few button clicks. Prior to EPM, we were using Excel, which everyone was very familiar with, and all of the project leaders would submit their Excel report to one person, our database administrator, and she would compile them. But as you can imagine, just one merging of one cell somewhere in the thing, in the mix would cause a little bit of an issue. And so typically, you know, when we asked her this, you know, how long did it take on average? And she said, typically a week for her to do that. Now she does it in just a couple button clicks. And the project managers know when the report's going to be pulled. They're given a two-day advance warning, and then they know which day it's due at 4 p.m. We have a 4 p.m. cutoff. And then Catherine typically will pull that report sometime that night. And we've got them trained, thankfully. And so in doing this, it freed up a lot of Catherine's valuable time that she was spending just unmerging cells and pasting Excel sheets together. And so now we can use her skills to work on other customized reports or work on the next level that we want to take our EPM system. So we found a quarter of a person just by implementing an improvement to our reporting process. So to give you an idea of what our custom report looks like, we have one sheet. This is expanded out, but one sheet that the project managers have to update each month. So, and that will then feed all the reports. One of the things I will point out is we do have an FTE count, and this is based off of their resource plan. So back on that page I showed you the resource plan, it will break out based on the RBS, how many U.S. resources, international resources, total resources, and then we also use generic resources based on roles. And so we have OSD quality engineer, OSD project manager. So if a particular team is looking for a resource and they don't have a name, they're not given that resource yet, they will have it in their resource plan, and on their monthly commercialization report, it will show up as a gap. And it's taken about a year of using this and being able to report on it, but just a couple months ago, we were able to justify the addition of some much-needed manufacturing resources because they could monitor those gaps and the fact they weren't going away and we weren't getting those projects completed. So that's been very useful. So with that one page of information, we're able to pull what we call an accountability report. Yes, sir. No, it's okay. This here, I believe, was done either in SQL or Excel. Jay, do you remember? Custom web form? Okay. Yeah, actually, the metadata from EPM is pulled for this information up here, as well as the FTE counts, and then some of these fields the project managers fill in, but it does remember from month to month. Yep. But the point being, it's a centralized spot. Once a month they go in and make sure that this information is correct. If not, we have to update it in EPM. And this is where that current status, they have the ability then to adjust. If they're not green anymore, they may be yellow. or read, and then they have a place to explain that. They have some key high-level deliverables and then comments, and that goes into an accountability report that actually goes up to our executive vice president. Not all projects are responsible for this, but with the information, we were able to pull for that particular report. For our critical issues report, we have, again, it's primarily that project status, but then the bullet points that they must fill in if they're yellow or red key in on what were they originally supposed to be at. So where in the schedule? Were they supposed to be entering test market? Were they supposed to have qualification done? And then what impact on the schedule? So if they were originally supposed to be in test market and now that's delayed 3 months, give us the critical issue, give us what you're going to do about it, and then are there any additional resources? And that gets pulled. It does get delivered to the DOC in a PowerPoint, which Microsoft Project Server doesn't dump directly to PowerPoint, but we do an Excel extract and then feed it into the PowerPoint quite easily. I'll say on our commercialization report, one of the things that our project managers have been very addicted to is that blue button you see kind of in the middle there, because that's what allows them to pull whatever they said they were planning to do for the last 30 days up into what they did the last 30 days without having to cut and paste. And so there's some other corporate reports that some of our project managers need to do, and they've come to Catherine and I. Catherine actually just stepped into the room. Welcome, Catherine. And they will say to us, can you get us the blue button for this other report, which we can't do, but we have it in EPM. We really love it that they recognize that. So the dashboard. This is also something that the DOC looks at once a month, more frequently if necessary, but it accounts for all of our projects. It's sort of the health of our project pipeline. They're organized by phase, so each column is a phase. You see the yellows and greens. In this particular month, there were no reds. And then we have the pie chart that breaks apart, you know, how many projects are in any given phase. And that's a good indicator, especially as we start getting more projects towards that scale-up stage and we know we're kind of constrained with resources in manufacturing, it becomes sort of a discussion point at the DOC level. And then finally, compliance report. This is more what we use in the project services to tell, is everyone filling in the report? Do we have to bug somebody? And it's gotten a lot better, but if we notice anybody without a color in this column, it's typically because they haven't touched their report and they probably just need a very gentle reminder. So that's sort of a summation of how we've created sort of a custom field for all of them to fill in, and then we can generate all the reports that they used to have to do one at a time, onesie twosie for this manager or that manager, and they love it. Our project managers love it. So move into portfolio management. We're in the final stretch here. And it takes more than just, oh, wow, we have a business director who wants to do this set of projects. It requires resources, the projects, and then the overall portfolio. And we wanted to make sure that this information was accessible when they needed it and shared across all those folks that we have globally, those that have the licenses and can access it. So this is sort of our flow chart of what our process looks like. And what we were discussing up to this point is where all of our EPM data, those project detail pages, the information that we feed in, we call that our project data. So each of the projects has their key financial resource plans and those relationship to the key strategic drivers. So then it's up to the business team to establish their drivers. So each driver has a name, it has the strategic impact statements, sort of that alignment of how closely it meets that particular driver. And as I mentioned, instead of pitting project against project, we have the paired comparison done of each driver. So typically when we do a driver prioritization, we'll have the business team look at that overall pool of the drivers that they've created and pick 3 to 5 and prioritize them in the order of importance. So we're not prioritizing the projects at that stage, we're just prioritizing the drivers. We let the tool take into account how well those projects are aligned, and then it will spit out the overall portfolio. So to do a portfolio analysis, we essentially start with, we've got the business team together, We agree that, okay, this is today, you know, for Microsoft Project 14, this is our demo of we're going to get together and do this portfolio analysis. We're going to use the driver prioritization that was created about a week ago for this particular group of projects. And then we're going to go in and select those projects that we want to take into the portfolio. So even though we may have 70 to 100 projects overall, they don't all necessarily go into every portfolio analysis. We may choose to keep some that are already in scale up. We're not going to touch them. We're not going to touch those resources. They're left out of the portfolio. So it's up to the business directors at the time which projects carry in. Then we go through and we determine what horizon are we looking at. So is it the next 6 months? What do we want to look at as far as where our resources and our project portfolio is going to look? So we set that planning horizon and we look at the role. You know, when we're determining whether we have the right resources, we do it at that role level, that role that we established back in those detail pages. And then we look at, okay, we've selected the drivers, we've selected the driver prioritization, we've selected the projects. Now we have a chance to look at that overall, what we call the heat map. So we have along the top here the drivers that were selected in that driver prioritization. We have all the projects that were selected by the business directors when we moved into this portfolio. And we can see clearly the relationship for each project to each driver. And they can do that gut check. Do we toggle that correctly? They can make changes here in this page when they're doing the portfolio analysis. It will not feed back to EPM, so if we do make a significant number of changes, it's better that we go back and change it then in EPM on that detail page. But it allows them to continue and do this in a very fluid motion when they're going through their portfolio analysis. They get a chance then to allow the tool to take into account the alignment of each of those projects to each of those drivers and the driver prioritization to funnel out all of those projects. Now again, they could stop here. They could say, here's our list of projects. This is what we're going to do. We're going to just take the top five and we're going to do them. But we've taken it to another level. Now sometimes you can look at the little percentages, everything's fine. We've got a lot of visual learners in our division, so exporting it into Excel, you can get a really nice little sheet too as well. But it'd be nice to know how much we're going to spend. So we can take it to that next step and now analyze the cost. And initially, that baseline, it's going to take into account, let's do everything based on the cost that we've applied to each of those projects. And so you see that total up here. That'd be fine if money grew on trees and we had all the money in the world. But if we have to apply a budget constraint, we can then do sort of that, what happens? What happens if we only have $10 million to spend? Well, we recalculate. I've highlighted the button that had to be pressed, but you didn't see it get pressed. And you see that two projects got kicked out. Now they have the option to say, wait a second, I need to do Foggy, and we can force that in and see what else happens. So that can carry on until all the business directors are in agreement. And that's great if we have enough money, but what if we don't have enough people, which I said earlier is usually our case. We have more projects than we have people to staff them. We can go back to the baseline, and instead of analyzing by cost, let's analyze by resource. So we're gonna pick a different button here. And when we do that, we see, uh-oh, now we can't do 100% of our projects. There's actually 38.9% that we can't even do. Why is that? You know, it's obviously due to resources because we said to analyze the resources and tell us how many projects we can do. So it requires us then to look one step further, dig a little bit deeper into that, and we go into what was called the requirements details. And when we do that, it opens up a pane a little bit further off to the left, where it will highlight, when we check this box to highlight the deficit, it'll show us which areas, again, by role, are lacking based on what we put in for that resource plan that was required to do that particular project. So we can look at the particular projects that were deselected, and we can see the division scientist and the product responsibility liaison, we just don't have enough of them. So now you can have the discussion. Okay, well, what can we do about this? You know, we get that comment from the business directors. Well, we can hire more people. And that's, like I said, how we were able to justify getting some resources. The tool doesn't tell you necessarily hire three people for the division scientists, hire this. You have to dig into the requirements detail. But if I just put in here, let's hire three resources and recalculate, now you see that we've gotten a little bit better. We're actually able to do a couple more projects, but we're still not 100%. And typically, our business directors want to do everything. So what's it going to take to do everything? We would just continue plugging in. I'm going to cut to the chase. I tried four. I tried five. Six was the magic number that got us up to being able to do 100%. So this is sort of an extreme case of, you know, six people. It's hard to justify that unless we showed this, like I said, on our quarterly basis. It wasn't getting any better. It wasn't getting any better. Then they'd probably jump to that. But it was very powerful in working with the different business directors to get to that aha moment. Again, not solely with emotion, but to show them the data and for them to lean back in the room and say, okay, I guess that's it. That's all we can do. So it's very useful, but again, it's a tool. It drives the discussion that's necessary with those folks. So current state. We currently expect our project managers, again, to keep the schedule to that project phase. We have their project status reports by month, those commercialization reports, and they're doing a great job with that. Our resource managers have to make sure that we've got the resources in the right spots, so I meet with them on a more than quarterly basis, almost monthly, to verify. And then when we have project reviews, if there's requests for other resources, we can plug that in, whether we use the generic resource or we actually plug in the names that have been assigned. And then project services. Catherine and I, and we have a portion of an administrative assistant that works on maintaining the resource plans for any non-projects, so non-NPI projects. Us, for example, we're not assigned specifically to projects. We coach our prioritization efforts, so we may facilitate when the project business directors are meeting to do the prioritization and support the use of EPM. This wasn't a corporate adopted system, so we are the first line of defense if a problem does occur. And then identifying, implementing specific reports, like I said, we found another portion of Catherine's time that can be devoted to actual functional advancements of our efforts instead of just plugging and pasting together Excel. So to summarize, we went through the proof of concept, we went through our pilot, went through production. We took it one step at a time. We didn't do it all at once, we didn't choke them with it, and we had people kind of begging for more. When our management and even the team leader said, hey, can EPM do this? Can EPM do this? We knew we were on the right track, and we knew we were doing the right thing. Where do we take it from here? I mean, we're satisfied. We're very, very happy with what it's gotten us so far, but we know we can continually improve. There's additional reports we can have. Additional requests come in from the global teams. We do check to see if others can use something similar so we're not just generating a plethora of separate customized reports. Improving our resource management. Some of you may have had a chance to attend the session yesterday in resource portfolio management. Again, that's a milestone consulting offering. It's an add-on to our EPM system that we've brought in. Excellent tool. And we're implementing EPS, the Enterprise Portfolio Simulator from ProModel, and another very useful tool. I've got screenshots. Engaging the big group. Our division is part of a big group. We've had enough interest from other divisions on what we did and how we're making our project manager's life easier that they're checking in with us and they're seeing, well, can we do that? Can we do that? And typically, they don't have the resources to devote to it, and by far, that's one of the very important things. You have to have dedicated resources. So that where we're going from here, the RPM tool from Milestone, allowing you to take a look at multiple projects and multiple resources instead of going in project by project, which Microsoft Project Server has that limitation where you have to go in by project and project. This allows us to open up, if we have a particular resource on multiple projects, and make those adjustments on the monthly or quarterly basis as necessary. And again, that session occurred yesterday, but since you all will have access to the slides after the conference is over, check those out if you want to learn more. I think it was packed full, and so some might have been turned away. So great session. Catch those slides. And then the What If Planning, this enterprise portfolio simulator. Kathy's here from ProModel, and they have a booth downstairs as well. And unfortunately, or fortunately, her colleague David was presenting at this exact same time, and his session is PC 270, and you can catch those slides as well. So I can take a few questions. I guess we're towards the end here. If there's any questions, hopefully there are some nuggets. And like I said, you'll have access to these slides. You can look at those particular screenshots. And if you're interested in digging into the demo a little bit better, certainly stop by the Milestone booth. Yes? Good question. Catherine and I are here at the conference to take a look at what else 2013 can offer. I think the fact that we took the time, we've implemented, we got our infrastructure for 2010, and we're satisfied with it. We understand there's more things we can do with 2013, but I think we want to take it to that next step with the resource and the portfolio, just because that portfolio simulator is going to allow us the chance to look beyond just that, well, we've got a portfolio. If we can succeed at doing it 100%, we're great. But we know that's not reality, so we're going to implement the portfolio simulator first and then see if 2013 or 2017 or whatever the next flavor might be. But good question. Yes? Yeah, we still resource at the project level for our EPM. The project schedules themselves, that's up to each project manager. We don't require that they put in the resources at their task level or anything like that. They're welcome to do so, but what we use for our reporting and our tracking on a division level is driven by the resource plan and what we have in the resource plan. Okay. Well, one more question. Sorry about that. Yeah, we looked at it in the pilot. Yes. Mm-hmm. Again, that's by project manager. It depends on their level of knowledge, maturity level with Microsoft Project. Some are still using Excel. We don't mandate that they use Microsoft Project. Those that really, really enjoy, I guess, Microsoft Project have it on their desktop. They have the professional version of 2010 so they can sync with our server. But a lot of times when they show it at a project review, it will be summed into a PowerPoint slide where they're showing that phase is complete. It's literally to that level. Yeah. So to summarize our success, you don't need it all. We didn't need time tracking. We'd love to use it. We just don't have the bandwidth to do so. but taking the pieces that work for you and doing them well, you get great benefits. So we would emphasize do the crawl, walk, run. Don't do it all at once. And celebrate your successes. I mean, we were able to celebrate with the Project of the Year, but you don't need that in order to have success. And hopefully, I've accomplished the objectives that you sat in today to learn about how we deployed Project Server, how we're using it for our project portfolios and for project and resource management. And again, I invite you to come down to the Milestone booth if you want to dig into it a little deeper. Or please, you know, take a look at the slide decks that you'll have available after the conference. And there is a session evaluation. They're giving away some great prizes if you feel obliged to do so. I appreciate that. And that's about it. If there's any additional questions.